Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the R Systems Q3 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lizanne. I welcome all participants to this earnings conference call. We have today with us Nitish Bansal, Managing Director and CEO, R Systems, and Sardana, CFO, R Systems. We have shared the presentation earlier today, so all of you have received that. We will start the call with the opening remark on the performance of the company by Nitish and followed up by a financial overview. Thereafter, we'll have a closing statement by Nitish. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned that these presentations contain certain forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties. The company undertakes no public obligation to update or revise any such statement. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future event, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievement could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statement. Now I pass it to Nitish for his opening comment. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kumar, and good morning everyone for joining in. This is Nitish Bansal, the CEO and MD for R Systems, and it is my pleasure to be addressing you today. I would start the presentation with two slides that I've used in my past investor meet as well, and this is just to kind of once again remind all of you and ourselves as to the space that we play in. So I'm currently referring to slide number three. Looking at the engineering services market, typically the engineering and R&D services get divided into four subsegments, which include mechanical engineering, embedded engineering, software product engineering, and digital engineering. We at R Systems, we play in the three out of the four segments, which covers embedded software products and digital engineering. We do not perform mechanical engineering services, which is outside our scope. Looking at the digital or embedded engineering markets, the global outsourcing spend is obviously been increasing, and though mechanical engineering is a large part of the spend in the market, as you would see, if you have the slides that you can refer to, going from 2013 to 2025 estimate numbers, most of the increase in spend has come in the software and platform, embedded and digital engineering side. So given the space that we are in and the market that we address, we are in a space that is, growth-oriented, and in general, the macro is pretty strong. Moving on to the next slide, looking at some of the current trends, and these are, reports from third-party analyst services, where they look at the demand side and supply side drivers. A lot of demand getting driven through embedded software and platforms, digital engineering to be a key growth driver. Industry 4.0, 5G kind of use cases and as a service models are driving the spend with some of the customers. Of course, there are regional nuances, APAC versus Europe, etc. And on the supply side, pure play digital product engineering services have been taking roots with great with niche or differentiated expertise and experience being something that the customers really like. And because these deals seem to be, or these deals tend to be mostly in discretionary spend and in form of projects, to create lumpiness of revenue, there are new commercial models that are being evolved, as well as M&A strategies play an important role. And why this is relevant is because we, in the space we play, we are obviously, we have evidence of working in embedded and software platforms. We do work with broadcasting product companies and companies that produce products for audiovisual, audio and video sources and live broadcasts. And we help them writing those software. Or in Industry 4.0 and others, we have examples where we have developed, software for those companies. So we are well poised in this kind of space. Now we have to remember these are all macro trends. These are like long term trends, and short term market fluctuations, demand fluctuations are not factored into this. Coming to the crux of the matter, so moving to slide 5, key highlights for Q3 2023, which is basically the quarter end of September. The revenue for the company stood at 457.3 crores in rupees, or $55.3 million, which is a year-on-year revenue growth of about 14.84%. This quarter in the revenue, we had a one-time fee that we received out of a contract, net of which we would be at 10% growth year-on-year. This has led to a net profit of 440 million rupees or $5.3 million, which is a 48.3% growth in year-on-year EBITDA, but net of the one-time fee, it would be 15% year-on-year growth. The earnings per share stood at 3.72 rupees per share. From balance sheet perspective, we had a healthy cash balance of $19.5 million or 1,622 million rupees. Moving to the next slide, slide number 6, highlights for the 9 months ended September 2023, which is the year-to-date numbers. We had revenues of 12,682 million rupees or $154 million. Which is a 13.6% year-on-year revenue growth, net of one-time fee, 11.8% year-on-year revenue growth. Net profit stood at 942 million rupees or $11.4 million, with an earnings per share totaling up to 7.97 rupees per share. Looking at some of the key highlights, the market continues to be challenging with continued headwinds from customers. This has been the flavor of the year 2023, as we've seen a lot of large companies do layoffs. A lot of tech companies who happen to be our clients have been reducing their spend. And those headwinds, customers are kind of dealing with, and some of that gets reflected onto the demand for our business. We've been deepening our engagement with our customers, helping them with their immediate priorities, because at this time they're looking at how they can produce software products with lower cost. We help them reducing the cost of product development by doing it offshore as we do it, and leveraging cloud data and AI related specialized services to differentiate the features in their products. We served 51 customers with more than $1 million in revenue on a run rate basis. The acquisition of Velocio Technologies that concluded in July this year has been both growth and margin accretive. We have moved in the direction of being able to integrate Velocio in the larger R systems and accelerate a lot of cross-sell and upsell initiatives between the entities. Strategic alignment or realignment of a go-to-market with a focus on key verticals to become more relevant to customers has been taking place. So we are aligning our go-to-market by verticals, and we are leveraging specialized offerings on cloud, data, experience, embedded systems, automation, and AI as key horizontals that with which we will go to the market to the customers. And as always, we are committed to preserve the margins through efficient operations. With this, I'll hand over to our CFO, Ms. Sinan Sardana, to talk the detailed financial performance.
Thank you, Nideshji. Good morning to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. This presentation gives detail of both quarterly as well as year-to-date numbers. As Riteshji said, revenue for the quarter was rupees 457.3 crores or $55.3 million, quarter-to-quarter increase of 12.4%. Excluding one-time BOT fee, it was 7.7%. Year-on-year increase is 14.8%, and excluding one-time BOT fee is 10%. As mentioned above, revenue and EBITDA includes BOT fee of USD 2.3 million or rupees 19.3 crores from a knowledge service customer. Because due to change in customer priority, where they have set up their own center in India, the agreement was signed 3 to 4 years. I mean, because we have served the customer for the last 3 to 4 years and earned a revenue of close to 10 million in the last 3 to 4 years. Revenue for year to date, September was 1,268 crore or $154 million as against rupees 1,116.3 crore last year. This is a growth of 13.6%, excluding one time fee, 11.9%. The company has added prominent logos, having good potential to grow in spite of challenging macro environment. Going down to Q3 gross margin, it was 38.3%, excluding BOT fee, 35.6%, compared to 34.8% last quarter. The margin has improved on the back of BOT revenue and efficient operations. EBITDA in this quarter was rupees 85.9 crores or $10.4 million compared to rupees 60 crores or $7.3 million last quarter and rupees 57.9 crores or $7.3 million in the same quarter last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 18.8% in this quarter compared to 14.7% last quarter and 14.5% in the same quarter last year. Excluding BOT revenue, the EBITDA margin was 15.2%. That is about 70 basis point improvement against same period last year. EBITDA year to date was 200.3 crores or $24.3 million compared to rupees 148.6 crores or $19.2 million last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 15.8% in year to date September compared to 13.3% last year. Again, excluding BOT revenue, the EBITDA margins were 14.5%. That is about 120 basis point improvement against same period last year. The improvement is primarily on back of efficient operation and control over SG&A's. We are committed to preserve these margins in spite of challenging period. During Q3, company incurred certain non-recurring expenses for acquisition of Velocio. We have mentioned that earlier as well. Treasury income in this quarter was rupees 17 lakh compared to rupees 4.3 crore last quarter. Treasury income mainly consists of interest income and net exchange gains or losses. A reduction is mainly due to net exchange loss due to M2M of outstanding forward cost and reduction in interest income post-utilization of corpus in Velocio acquisition. At the end of quarter, we had outstanding forward cost of $41.25 million with average rate of 83.89. And euro cover of 2.2 million with an average rate of 92.48. This has already been marked to market on 30th September. Now moving into tax expense, our Q3 tax expense was rupees 18.2 crore as against rupees 31.1 crore last quarter. Last quarter tax expense includes rupees 20 crore for provision for tax on dividend declared from US subsidiary. Out of rupees 20 crore, the company shall be able to reverse rupees 12 crore based on dividend declared to shareholders in next 9 to 10 months. Our effective tax rate during this quarter, excluding amortization of intangible, accounted through Velocio acquisition around 26%. Net profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 44 crore or $5.3 million compared to 14.4 crore or $1.8 million last quarter. Net profit after tax for year to date was rupees 94.2 crores or $11.4 million compared to rupees 98.3 crores or $12.7 million last year. This is after conceding non-declaring expense of rupees 10.7 crore and provision of a tax of rupees 20 crore on dividend received from US subsidy. Resultant EPS for the quarter is rupees 3.72 and year to date is 7.97. Now getting down to asset side of the balance sheet, DSO including unbilled for quarter 3 was 50 days compared to 64 days for December 22. We are seeing some AR challenge with few customers who are dependent on funding in the last few quarters and we have made conservative provisions. Net cash balances after short-term borrowing were rupees 162.2 crore at the end of the quarter compared to 271 crore at the end of December quarter. The company has paid rupees 264 crore for acquisition of Velocio, which has impacted our cash balances. Our shareholder funds were rupees 639 crore as at September end compared to 540 crore at the end of December end. Coming on to the operation, in terms of technical headcount, it has reduced from 3927 as at June 30th to 3740 as at September 30th. This is the net impact of the GOT execution for which we have received the fee. Utilization in quarter 3, blended utilization was 79.2% compared to 77.3% in quarter 2 and 76.9% in quarter 3, 2022. We are making focused efforts to improve utilization in coming quarters. On Q3 basis, Geographical distribution based on customer location is North America 74.7%, Europe 9.5%, Southeast Asia 12.5%, and rest of the world 3.3%. On the client concentration, top 10 contribute 25.8%, with the largest client contributing 6.5%. With that, let me hand over to Nitesh ji for review of operation. So far, the final comments.
Thanks, Nanji, for the detailed overview of financials. Summing up, for this quarter, Q3 has been an exciting quarter. We have had large deal wins. We have had successful initiation of go-to-market alignment focusing on our, the industry verticals that we are most familiar with. As customers face headwinds, we have still managed to deepen our relationships through better relationship management, more active farming, and reaching out to our customers with sharper offerings, addressing some of their immediate needs with adopting cloud, data, automation, and AI. If you look at some of the success stories that happened in the quarter, we started a strategic partnership with a global leader in access control systems. A leading provider of digital marketing services has engaged us to build the front-end, back-end, and to integrate generative AI capabilities in their platform. A U.S.-based precision engineering company is leveraging our expertise to gain insights through data using Power BI and Snowflake. And a leader in power generation and distribution in Europe has partnered with us to significantly reduce the complexity of new customer identification, validation, and onboarding. And there we are leveraging a suite of digital technologies. So they're just the representative wins of the quarter, some good stories. But with that, I thank you for listening to us. This is what we had to present. And back to you, Kumar, for the Q&A part.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Amit Thawani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nitesh. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. It's quite a tough environment, and in that kind of an environment, to give these numbers is quite creditable. But I just had a few questions. If you go into the segment information, our IT services actually has degrown year on year in its profit before interest and tax, and on a QOQ basis also there is not much growth. And so I was just wondering, and clearly the Velusio acquisition has got added in that segment in this quarter. So I was just wondering, is the Velusio acquisition really earnings accretive? I mean, it at least in the segment numbers, it doesn't seem like that.
Well, Amit, first and foremost, thanks. Thanks for recognizing that it is business-wise, it's been tough environment, and in that environment, holding these numbers and that kind of year-on-year growth is definitely credible. I think what you're seeing is a net result of both the, ups and downs in terms of where customers have faced headwinds and projects have closed. That obviously has impacted the quarter. But on the other hand, our new client acquisitions plus some of the large wins, including growth with some of the existing clients, like we said, in the areas of data, cloud, and AI, has led to growth. Velocio itself has been, like we said, the synergies due to cross-sell, upsell, due to getting the advantage of having a location in Pune, which also gives us an additional talent pool, has been overall both growth and margin accretive for us. And I think that's reflected to some extent in these numbers. Your point on IT services degrowth year on year on PBIT basis, on profit before interest and tax basis, I do not have a comparison right in front of me. I don't know, Nanji, if you have the numbers handy.
Yeah, I can. So, yeah. Amitji, if you see quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year segment, technology has grown close to 26 crore, if you can notice that. So, there is a growth. But business process outsourcing, which encompasses the fee of, this BOT fee, that definitely the number is absolutely this. And secondly, due to acquisition on the profitability front, due to acquisition of Velocio, you see what has happened is we have acquired customer. I mean, how the accounting happens is the total consideration paid is close to 270 crore. And so the net assets are close to 17 crore. The customer contracts are valued at close to 170 crore. There's a non-compete valuation of 50 crore. That's how the accounting is done in books of accounts. There is a depreciation element of close to 6 crore. All of that is accounted in information technology. That is the profitability numbers you are looking at are coming just flat because there is a higher depreciation element which has been accounted for there. Having said that, we have improved our net of BOT fee. If you notice that our EBITDA margins are positive 70 basis points year on year, and you see last year we did 13.7% and now we are at 14.5%, excluding the BOT fee. So we are in a trajectory where we should be improving our EBITDA margins, and this has been as of the number as well.
Thank you, Nanji. Thank you for the reply. Just curious, this 6 crores higher depreciation, how many quarters are we going to see this for?
That's a good question, Amitji. Okay, if you want to get into detail, let me explain to you. So, when we have 170 crore, the valuation of clients, and the clients will be depreciated over a period of 40 quarters, 10 years. So 4 crore will be the depreciation each quarter for client. Non-compete is close to 53 crore and that is 7 year kind of. So 6.5 crore is going to be, this depreciation going to be for few years,
We can
explain to you in detail, one-on-one also, but that's an accounting, how the accounting is.
So I was under the impression that we will, this amount will probably get expensed through the acquisition of the OCPS. And we would be acquiring the OCPS at a premium. But that is not the case, right? I mean, I guess it is going to go through the P&L.
OCPS is different. That will result into a goodwill. OCPS has resulted into a goodwill, but the cash consideration has resulted into client and non-compete. It's a little complicated accounting. Maybe I can explain you, a little bit complicated accounting.
No, I've understood this. I've understood now. I was just not sure if this was going to go through the P&L, but now it is very clear.
Yes,
now
correct.
It is very clear.
Correct.
And, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Raja from Ratnabali. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. And thank you for giving me the opportunity and congratulations on such strong set of numbers. So just a couple of questions, sir. So the first one would be with regard to the one-time fee, which is pertaining to the BOT. So what would be the cost pertaining to the sales, which would be taken out in the coming quarters? The second would be, is there any further addition in our clients from the Blackstone portfolio? And the third one would be, sir, recently we have, declared an ESOP plan. So if you could just please give us a ballpark number, what would be the yearly or a quarterly, cost which would be charged to the PL account? Thank you.
So maybe Niteji, you can answer on the BX client and I'll answer one-time fee and ESOP client.
Yeah, we can do that. And BX portfolio is simple answer, Abdul, is yes, we have seen some additions. Obviously, you know, the customers currently are not referenceable, but we continue to improve our wins within the BX portfolio as we do outside.
Okay.
Okay. Regarding the one-time fee, as I mentioned in my reference, there is a BOT customer with whom we have earned revenue in last 3 to 4 years of approximately $10 million. The contract was signed in such a way that there is a BOT which is to be executed, which has become effective from September 15th. So $2.3 million one-time fee we have received, which has straightaway gone to our gross margin as well as our EBITDA. The customer is setting up its own center, but that was an agreement done long back. Now, coming on to the ESOP plan, the ESOP details are already, they are still in the process. We are waiting the shareholder approval. The detailed RSU, these are in the form of RSU, which are issued at Rupee 1. The accounting and all that, I think probably we will be able to explain to you when all that formalities are completed. Maybe in the next call we can explain that.
So just follow up regarding the Blackstone portfolio clients. If you could just help us understand, like, how much would be the top line from these clients, and by when can we expect these numbers to, you know, kick in?
So, Abdul, see, we are winning business with Blackstone clients, like you asked us. Some of the projects take time to start, and then the first start. I think it's very difficult to split the numbers by that, or again, you know, that's something that till the client becomes referenceable, it will be difficult to share. But the portion of revenue, if that's where your concern is, right, is not so significant, right? Because we have been part of Blackstone portfolio only for 3.5 months or 4 months, right? We are beginning to see wins. We are beginning to, use the Blackstone portfolio companies as a very fertile hunting ground to start relationships with them. But, right now, I don't think it would be a material kind of a number to disclose. Nanji, I don't know if you have anything else to add on that.
No, because you answered it well. So I think it's just start of the relationship, but we feel good about it that, there's a good traction happening on that.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in queue.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitish Reke from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Sir, you're sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
Is this better?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I missed the first 10 minutes of the call as I was let in by the operator. So I just have a few questions. I don't know if you've already addressed these. So when do you expect the organic sales engine to start firing? And secondly, has the hiring at the leadership level been completed?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of the speaker. Can I get the name? Nitish. Okay, so...
Yeah.
Okay, we share the same name, similar name,
yeah.
Right? So Nitish, your first question is, when do you expect the organic sales engine to start firing?
Yes, sir.
Was that the question? I'm a little at loss because our organic sales engine has been firing and has been firing really well for quite some time. So what's your real question behind that? I'm not able to understand. But just to give you some data points, we have been opening anywhere between, or we have been winning anywhere between 30 to 40 deals every quarter organically, right? And Q3 has seen some of the largest total contract value in deal wins as compared to even last, 4, 5, 10 quarters. It's been one of our, best quarter in terms of deal wins. And that's thanks to, a few larger value wins that came in. So the total deal value of the wins has been fairly good. This has been the trend of the company for several quarters and years to come. Our sales engine has been working quite efficiently, and this comprises both new logo wins as we continue to add new logos to the company, as well as repeat wins from our existing customers, which were opened either 1, 2, 3, or 4 quarters ago, which continue to give us more business. Okay, and your second question was about, has the leadership hiring been completed or initiated? I don't know, but we haven't made any public statement or any statement about that we are either hiring or you know, going in the market to hire any more leaders or anything. You know, there isn't any such news. So again, I really do not have an answer for that. We haven't declared any new positions, and we haven't really reached out. Our leadership has been very strong and stable. The company's leadership has stayed with the company, and we are growing on the back of that leadership.
Got it, sir. So my first question is coming from the fact that excluding our Velocio numbers, our growth is flat, right?
If that's how you calculated it, perhaps, you know, we haven't really divided the numbers up. Overall, you know, we have seen, like I said in the previous response, that we have seen some amount of customer attrition because a lot of customers have faced headwinds. And we have managed to win enough business to more than fulfill for the gap created by any customer attrition, and further give a small amount of uplift to the revenues.
Got it, sir. And just one more question. So where do you see the EBITDA margins over the next 2 to 3 years?
I, you know, don't have a forecasting mirror, but like Manji had said, we are continuing to, you know, win more business, so that continues to give us the fuel for growth. And as we are growing, we continue to run our operations in a fairly tight manner, and continue to look for synergies across our, you know, subsidiaries or acquisitions that we're making. So we believe that we'll continue to maintain a fairly you know, tight control over margins, and at least maintain the margin levels, and wherever possible, increase it by a few basis points. But that's, again, you know, not something that I can forecast right now. We will definitely, you know, exercise every kind of fiscal discipline to make sure that we run a tight ship. Nanji, you want to add anything to that?
Sure. So what I can add is that we did 13.7% last year, and we are excluding that one time, we are close to 14.5% right now. So we are already having improvement of 80 basis points. And as Niteshji said, we are making tight control. Having said that, we have to continue investing in sales, marketing, and, you know, in digital technologies. So aim right now is to get more on the growth path. And definitely, you know, with that, I think we should see some improvement, but difficult to kind of, you know, give the number.
Okay, sir. And is there any plans for any further M&A activity, and any sense on what kind of assets would we be looking for?
So while we cannot forecast when and how or what kind of M&A would happen, as a company, we are obviously open to looking at assets that can be synergistic with us, specifically in product development engineering space, either in, you know, certain vertical or core service line competency area. So we as a company are constantly...
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the speaker reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Okay. So sorry, I think I got disconnected, and I was saying that we are constantly scanning the market and actively looking at inbounds when they come in. And, you know, whenever we find another target that we are interested in, and then we reach a stage, we'll announce to the market. But You know, just in general, yeah, we are open to it. We are open to looking at M&As, but no, nothing really in hand right now.
Oh, okay, sir. And is there any cost of this BOT project which is sitting in our 3Q numbers, which will not repeat in the future?
Well, the BOT fee, the customer was live till September 15th. So till September 15th, the revenue and cost has come. But BOT fee, there is no cost involved in BOT fee. It is just a one-time fee.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for giving the opportunity. Sir, I had a basic question. I mean, largely wanted to understand, you know, what services are we exactly providing on telecom, both ISVs as well as a pure telecom on the fintech and healthcare. So I mean, just wanted to understand, I mean, you know, are we more into ER&D or more into product engineering? Just wanted to understand that. Second question was on the split, and you know, how can we split the revenue in ER&D, product engineering and KPO? What's the split across the business? And third question was on the outlook on the telecom sector. I mean, given the fact that the sector is facing challenges, getting it difficult for IT spends itself, I mean, so what is your thought, you know, what kind of conversations are you having with the clients? That will be helpful.
So I'll, Mihir, thanks for the question. I'll try and answer your questions around services provided and telecom sector kind of in one go. So bulk of the services that we provide are related to product engineering, right? So ER&D is a broad, you know, classification, which includes mechanical engineering and embedded and software products, as well as digital engineering, right? And bulk of our work happens in the embedded plus software product engineering space. To some amount, it is in digital engineering space. When you talk of core sectors like telecom or even, you know, media and entertainment, we do both embedded and software product engineering work. To give you an example, without naming any customers, for some customer, we may be working on their OTT box, which, you know, the normally, you know, households will have an OTT box through which they're watching television. And the embedded software on the box would probably be written by us or, you know, be designed by us. Or we would be working with a telecom company, helping them write the core software stack that allows them to run the voice services or text message services or add value-add services to their telephone or their mobile offerings, which could be to do with, for example, allowing you to watch below TV on your mobile subscription, right? So somebody has to write those softwares that become part of the product offering or core part of the stack on which these services run. So those are the kind of services we provide. Of course, bundled with that is a lot of data piping, a lot of data, you know, analysis and AI and all that stuff. So that's a broad kind of understanding of what we do. Telecom sector.
Just an extension to this. On the fintech and healthcare, are they similar kind of services?
Similar kind of services, because, you know, even in fintech, we work with companies who are writing software for whether cards and payments or whether it is loan origination or it is, you know, adjudication of the insurance claims or all those kind of things, right? So ultimately, the product that runs or the software SaaS product or tool that runs to do these kind of calculations or back-end jobs, you know, we actually help companies write those tools and products, right? Same is true for health as well.
Sure, sir. Understood you.
And your other question was around weakness in telecom sector itself. Well, you know, seasonality in each of these industries does exist. But where we sometimes, of course, you know, depending on which side of the business we are working on, we may see slowness in demand. We may see delays in decision making. But on the other hand, when you look at in general, the movement of more and more workloads onto the cloud or adoption of or bringing in more data and AI, we are winning that kind of work, and that allows us to offset that kind of seasonality. And in telecom in particular, there has been a lot of investment that's been going in 5G. So working with customers in helping them write some of the 5G related services or write testing software, which they will use to test some of those services. So those are the kind of work that, you know, even though in general the industry may not be doing well, but then of course there are players in the industry who are using this time or leveraging the access to talent to be able to build some of these things for the future. So yes, I mean, it's a up and down. Like I said earlier, we have seen in telecom some of the demand shrink, but we have also seen in telecom some of the new demand come up.
Sure, sir. This is very helpful. And just the third question was on the split across R&D, product engineering, and KPO. How is that split for us out of the overall $230 million of business at R&D?
Nanji, do we share the segment split? Is it public data? If you want, you can share.
At a broad level, I think we say that, ISV constitute close to 30%, and the telecom ISVs, constitute close to 30%.
We don't do that sectoral split, right? I think the question was about largely KPO versus tech.
Okay, so KPO versus tech broadly is 90-10. 90% is product engineering, on the IT side, and 10% is the KPO side, broadly.
Yes. Sure, sir. Understood. And just one last question. You know, what are the conversations that you're having from the top five clients? Any indication from them in increase of spends or slowness of the spend, specifically from top five clients?
Currently, we are in November, and this is typically the budgeting cycle for customers, right, which will happen now. We're in the beginning. So we do hope that we will get some indications from them as they go through their budgeting cycle and close it out in November. Sometimes customers share, sometimes don't. But currently, I think timing-wise, it's actually too early to even ask. So we will have to wait till end of November when the budgets typically get finalized and closed.
Sure, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you very much, sir. And best of luck for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Thawani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my follow-up question. I was just out of curiosity, I was wondering, what are the parameters we are looking at when we are looking at M&A candidates? Are we still open to someone in technology? Telecom, or we are looking to kind of diversify, you know, into different different segments.
So, Amit, broadly speaking, look, we operate across tech and internet as one segment, and telecom, media, entertainment, banking, financial services, healthcare, manufacturing, logistics, and services, right? So that's a pretty well-covered spectrum. So in that sense, it's not that we can be looking for, or that we are looking for somebody in a very different vertical, a very different industry segment. Our aim is to strengthen and deepen our capabilities within the segment. Without describing the entire M&A playbook, I mean, it's about either getting deeper with the industry expertise or deeper with the capability, which could be, you know, could be deep AI capability or deep embedded capability or anything, right? So M&A will always be, with each case is different and individual, and you end up evaluating it for what does it bring to the company? What kind of synergies will it bring? What kind of value accretion it will bring? And what is it that we are buying that we cannot build? Right. So yeah, we are open and we look at each candidate, each potential candidate in that light. So we are open.
But are we looking at something that is delivery centers out of India only, or are we looking at maybe offshore delivery centers, maybe we want to become like a global delivery center?
Well, like I said, again, we are open in that regard, India-based or any other good talent location-based. I mean, obviously, we would want to have a delivery center in a location which supports growth of talent, right? And that is very important for us. So if there is an alternate location that, let's say, a potential M&A target has, which turns out to be one of those global talent hubs where, you know, there is availability of good quality talent, sustainability of cost, and ability to grow the talent pool, then of course we would still look at globally.
Right. And do you guys give out like numbers such as TCV or something? Like for or order bookings this quarter?
And that has not been the practice of the company so far. So I think we would, you know, it's always, you know, the more, you know, there's no limit to some of these details. And we think currently our business is, you know, is sum total of a lot of these things, which we need to shape up the whole rather than, you know, divide attention onto any those one of those particular aspects. Yeah, so we haven't followed that practice so far.
Just to add, Amitji, 90% of business is a repeat business. So that has been the history. So in that way, our master contracts are long-term contracts. So that has been the practice so far.
Superb. Thank you for your reply.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Raja from Ratnambali Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Abhinav Chandak here, colleague of Abdul. So congratulations on a decent set of numbers from my side also. I just had one clarification to ask. I heard Nitesh ji say that during the call that the contract wins in Q3 have been the best ever. And so there has been attrition for existing clients, but then the attrition has been filled by getting new wins. Can you just help quantify that? How big has that been? How money and when will the ramp up from these new clients that we have added start to trickle in?
So, like we were responding to Amit, right? I don't think we would quantify the TCV or the sort of thing, but just in the general sense of the business. Deals typically take a couple of months to ramp up. Then, you know, the impact of some of those ramp ups come in. They start coming in towards the end of the quarter or next quarter, but the ramp up goes on for a few quarters because typically look at this, you know, it's a product development kind of business that people start in small and then as they gain confidence and as we learn more about their product, more and more to what we can do there. So the ramp-ups actually go on for a few quarters. So, we're just happy that we have had great wins.
So, sir, what I actually meant was that, say, if in previous quarters you have 100 crores of order, how significant has been Q3 out of say 100 ka 120 hua hai, 130 hua hai, what has been the growth like which makes you say that this has been the best quarter ever? So I don't want you to give me exact numbers, but just a sense of the kind of growth that you're seeing.
You can ask me 20 questions and find the answer outside. I mean, this is not you know, whether it's an order of magnitude or anything, you know, I don't think we have shared what is our order wins last time. So whatever I say, you know, if I say...
Are these new customers? Are these new customers or existing customers? Some sense?
Nandi, you want to answer it?
Yes, I will answer. So, Abhinavji, as Niteshji said earlier, we have added close to 30 clients in each of the last 3 quarters. This quarter also, but some of the order which we have won, the magnitude of that and the going forward ACV or TCV is comparatively much better than what we had in Q1 and Q2. We are not giving this ACV and TCV number in the past. I think it's a good, we take your feedback and probably we will internalize, you know, how to kind of take these. But I think things have started improving over last few days. And but I think the more information maybe can be provided in subsequent calls.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir, for taking this feedback.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitesh for his closing comments.
Now, I think from my side, first and foremost, thank you to all the investors and analysts who have attended the call. Thank you for your time. Thanks for the interest. And also, you know, both the questions and the feedback, right? Some of your questions actually give us the inputs on what kind of information is meaningful, what are you looking for? So we can start, like Nandi said, we can internalize it. We can start thinking about whether or not we can share it and how best to share it, etc. But also, you know, for all the good wishes that you've shared with us, really thankful. And we hope to continue to, you know, serve the interests of our investors well. Anything?
Thank you.
None?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, members of the management.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of our systems, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.